Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 316 of the Roguecast, recorded December 14th, 2020. R.I.P. Harrison Ford's butt.
All right, people, we are doing something a little different this time. This is the remote Roguecast. You might notice we didn't have one last week. It's been crazy Christmas time. The store is as busy as ever, and comics are coming in late, not for you guys, but for us. Like, we're doing Wednesday polls and that kind of thing. So this, we may not be able to talk comics for the last couple weeks, but we can talk the flood of news that came out. So we're recording remotely. We're not in the same place.
Audio might be a little bit weirder, but I think it should all come out all right.
It should. All four of us are here.
Yeah.
It is me and Nick and Dave and Anna.
What's up?
Is this actually the first time we've all been on the podcast at the same time?
Oh, I think it is.
Maybe, because we normally, somebody's got to be minding that store. Oh, wait, who's at the register, y'all?
Robert Patrick's ghost. Or no, Phil Collins' ghost.
Drunk Robert Patrick and the ghost of Phil Collins.
Yes, that's
for those who don't know
the
lore of Rogues Gallery, those are some of our more unique inhabitants.
Yes, along with the pterodactyl from Joust.
Yep.
That lives in the ceiling and is half-starved.
Yes, the pterodactyl from Joust comes out, I'm sorry to say, if you overstay, you're welcome there.
It's true, you stay too long. But here's the good news. It just kind of flops onto the ground because we forget to feed
right.
it and water it.
It doesn't get fed, so it's usually on the verge of death.
So we push the button, it falls on the floor and kind of mules at us. It's really kind of sad. Yeah. Nobody likes it.
But remember its heyday in Joust and give it praise if you see it. It just needs your support.
I thought Robert Patrick just gave it a lot of beer. Is that how it survives?
That's possible. Yeah, it survives on beer. As for the ghost of Phil Collins, we're aware that Phil Collins is not dead.
That's what makes the ghost so eerie.
Yeah. All of this stuff, by the way, came up in various conversations at the store. I can't remember the origins of almost any of it.
No.
All I know is that it's the truth now.
Yes.
quick store info, gaming info. We have, as of this recording, Tasha's
Cauldron of Everything.
Yes. Not the limited cover. The limited cover, unfortunately, is gone. But we have Tasha's back in stock. We've got a decent stock of them. So if you need it for Christmas or other holidays, you can come and get it.
Yeah,
I think
we weren't sure it was going to make it
for a while. No, we weren't. We are out of Cyberpunk Red, sadly, and that is probably gone for the season.
Rip.
We also got Terrors of London back in, which I love this game. It is a two-player sort of gothic horror card game deck builder. And I've had a great fun playing it. There's a new expansion, so there's two expansions for it. It's also $20, which is super cheap for a game.
And when you say gothic horror, like you get to actually like play like Frankenstein or the Wolfman or Dracula or whatever, but it's these kind of like creepy versions of them, like particularly creepy.
Also, I don't know if that was us like jury rigging it or whether or not it actually supports it in the rules, but can't you do four players but with teams?
You can do two-player teams.
Yeah.
But I figure in these times of plague, two-player games are especially in demand.
Yeah.
And I know that we have, like, some horror and monster fans and all that stuff.
Yeah, the art's really good, too. Like, for a $20 game, I'm always astounded by how good it is.
Yeah. Also, I don't even really like board games. Don't know why I work here, but I think this game is great. And I can be a big werewolf and punch people. So that's pretty cool.
I thought you worked here because you thought that we sold video games and you were too embarrassed to admit it.
Well, I would admit that on camera if I wasn't too embarrassed to admit it, so.
All right, so Disney dropped the motherload of news, and a lot of this podcast is going to be us talking about that. But there was some other news that came up as well, and we wanted to talk about that first. In fact, one of them was kind of also a big bombshell, which is that the last podcast we did, we talked about how there were rumors that Wonder Woman was coming to HBO Max.
Like that same day we found out.
Yes, not only is Wonder Woman coming to HBO Max, but Warner Bros. Is going to put its entire film slate on HBO Max in next year at the same time they put it in the movie theaters. And they're doing something kind of interesting. They're doing it goes on for a month, and then it goes off, and then you can buy it later. So they're kind of basically like slightly breaking the theatrical window to keep people on HBO Max.
Huh.
There has been much gnashing of teeth over this in my film friend circles.
Well, there's also been gnashing of teeth because Warner Brothers didn't tell any of the people who actually made these films, and they are pissed off.
Yeah, like Legendary that co-produced, like Godzilla versus not Dracula,
Kong.
Godzilla versus King Kong.
I do want a Godzilla like, versus Dracula movie though. Now,
sure, it'd probably be short though. But
Dracula can always turn into a mist.
But I think Legendary was like, wait, you're gonna what now? You're gonna put what movie on? Well, I think they're kind of like, it was kind of like them announcing like, oh, and also we're gonna put Black Widow on HBO Max. Like, wait, you don't own Black Widow? What are you doing?
Well, I think there was a long diatribe by Christopher Nolan, of course, but then also Denis Villeneuve, or Villeneuve, I think is what that's actually how you pronounce it.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, he hates this idea and thinks it's going to destroy his movie that is the best in all the world.
Well, I can understand, you know, Dune is exactly the kind of movie you want to be seen on a big screen.
Right.
But we are, I don't know if people have noticed, the last year has been unique in all of our, you know, history of like the last century. Actually, I guess not quite unique, about 100 years ago, yeah, right then, there was another pandemic.
Yep, and 100 years from now, there'll be another one.
Yep. Good luck to them. Sorry, I wish I could have been right somewhere in between those.
Sure would have been nice.
But yeah, it's like... this is kind of tough news for me to hear because I do like to go to the movies, but you kind of can't pretend that America is getting past the pandemic, that things are improving. They hopefully will with a possible president who will actually take shit seriously. But
well, the irony of all this is the vaccine news was hitting about the same time, and it almost feels like HBO Max timed this badly. It's like, well... we might get back to normal in the sometime the next year, and you guys may have jumped the gun here, but they may be just bleeding money, and HBO Max has not been successful, and they're like, we need to at least get the streaming service up and running.
Yeah. Right.
All I'm saying is that even if the vaccine is out, I don't trust like that. I've seen the way people wear their masks. I'm not going to a movie theater for, like, at least a year.
I get that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And honestly, we have no idea how they're going to roll out the vaccine or how long it's going to take. So it could be by the end of next year that when we finally have it completely rolled out. So this might work.
I heard that if you buy a Wonka bar and get a golden ticket, you get a vaccine.
Oh, neat.
And yeah. I also heard that if you're in like the top income bracket, you don't have to buy any Wonka bars. They just give it to you.
You also, get nothing.
Also, if you get the golden ticket, you get to tour the Pfizer factory, and one lucky child will become the head of Pfizer.
I'm gonna accidentally fall in the vaccine vat and like drink it all, and I'll become supercharged.
Someone's going in the vat of Demerol and just coming out real happy.
You know, I'm just happy I'm going to get to see Kong vs. Godzilla and Matrix 4 and what else is on that list? There was a bunch of them.
Matrix 4. Is that definitely happening?
It's already filmed.
Also,
yeah.
Don't you remember they had a rap party that they got in trouble because of COVID protocols? They did like a secret rap party. So I'm like, Keanu, what the hell?
How did Matrix 4 kind of film and I didn't know it, really? Like, there's been no hype or, like behind-the-scenes photos, right?
Because the world has been on fire.
Maybe they wanted to stealth it so the machines wouldn't catch on, Dave.
Well, it could also be, like, Matrix 2 and 3, I don't know if people remember, didn't go over great.
Are incredible.
And they may want to wait and hit us with an onslaught of coolness when it's all done, but not at, like, the halfway marks.
Yeah, that's true. Also, did you all see the thing where Keanu Reeves was like, "Yeah, man, I didn't know that the Matrix was a parallel for coming out as trans, but that's cool." it's the coolest reaction I've seen.
That's delightful.
Keanu's the best. Yeah,
I like him.
He's like, "That's great."
He's so chill, and I'm glad that he's as chill as he seems like he is in literally all of his movies.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over from the Warner Brothers news to the big news about Metal Gear Solid over at Sony, which is that Oscar Isaac is going to star as Solid Snake.
Which is That's awesome.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Is it? I've never played a Metal Gear game.
Honestly, he's probably too good for the franchise.
That's not true, Dave. You take it back. Metal Gear Solid is art.
I love Gear. Nick knows this. We've had conversations long.
We've talked about doing an RPG.
Yes, I have ideas. I have thoughts.
Everything I know about Metal Gear Solid, I learned from you describing playing it, Dave.
Now,
so, yeah.
Now, Randy, like everybody knows, and this is what I'm worried is all they're going to care about for the movie, but they may not because these are different times, is that, like, you know, it's like this stealth-based military missions and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, what really people, I think, like, kept him around, aside from fun gameplay, is that it also has some of the craziness of almost, like, the melodrama of anime in there with wild villains, you know. People know about Revolver Ocelot.
Yeah.
And Psycho Mantis. Go ahead.
Oh, just as in a quick aside, Dave, what would your Foxhound code name be? In the vein of Revolver Ocelot or Psycho Mantis?
Oh, mine personally?
The hunting code.
It's got to have a possum in it, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it has to have a possum. Yeah.
But I think it has to reference the fact that they can play dead, but be kind of cool sounding. So here's my thought: Mortis Possum, like the Latin.
I like it, Dave. But also, you've been obsessed with Ghost of Tsushima for a while, so I'm gonna say Possum Katana.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Katana Possum is pretty fucking awesome.
This should be
awesome
in the movie.
Yeah.
But there's, like, you know, it's both kind of a combination of all these sort of action movie and stealth movie cliches, but, like, crazy stories, wild conspiracies and kind of deep thoughts and philosophies sometimes. And I'm worried, and also even, like, weird fetish stuff. Anna, tell them about the butts.
Oh, yeah, Snake's butt. It's super important. I think there was, like, a thing that came out, like, around Metal Gear Solid 4 where people were like, Kojima, why did you spend so much time sculpting Snake's perfect ass? And his response was, well, when you look at characters like Lara Croft and you look at characters like yada yada yada, they all have really great butts. And I think that it's just the hallmark of a hero that, like, they have to have, like, a dump truck ass. So, that makes perfect sense. I don't know what Oscar Isaac's butt looks like, but I hope that they didn't drop the ball there. That's more important to me than the military thriller aspect of it.
I'm gonna say, and this is not a thing I ever expected to say on the podcast, I bet Oscar Isaac has a nice butt.
I bet you're correct. Randy.
I'm cautiously excited about this because I want it to happen, but I want him to keep some of the weirdness. Like, if it just becomes, like, a cool, like, thriller, then I'm not excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, it has to get over the hurdle of being better than Rampage or Mortal Kombat.
Right, the two best video game movies.
Yeah, or the Street Fighter movie, which is incredible.
You know what, I think there's a case to be made. There's a case to be made. I wouldn't make it myself.
I'm going to link you a 30-minute long YouTube video, Dave, about why Street Fighter is not just the best video game movie, but the best movie.
Okay.
And I think you'll be swayed to my side.
Honestly, I'll watch it.
The best movie. The best movie, okay.
A 30-minute video. Incredible.
So Aliens is in development over on FX by Noah Hawley. So Noah Hawley has done a lot of great TV, and notably he has done the Fargo TV series.
Legion.
And the Legion TV series.
Cool.
One of the best superhero shows. So it is going to be, they said, I think it's about a, I've got, looking for the premise, because there was a good premise for it, too.
All I knew is that they were doing something with Earth, but which the show, like, comics have touched on, but movies had never really have, other than, like, loosely in AVP.
Yeah, and I think the guy is, like, he's a mercenary working for Weyland-Yutani.
Were you about to say Wu-Tang?
Wu-Tang. That'd be great. I would love that.
Working for the Wu-Tang Clan.
And he's like, there's something to do with his son, so they're gonna do like a father son thing.
I bet he.
So I think he's like a mercenary coming to Earth to save his son from the aliens or something.
I bet. All right,
well, that sounds terrible to me.
I mean, that was very similar to the plot line that they did in the last Predator film, and it was awful. So,
Holly
can do something better.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah, I think we can trust in him. And here's the thing. I broadly speaking, I think TV could be a good venue, the same way it's proving a good venue for Star Wars, because it doesn't have to always be about the big thing. You can build out the mythology and tell smaller stories and high stakes, but like for just an individual and stuff like that. I think, and again, like, that you just have so much more like room to play around with. Like, I think Alien actually could fit.
I
think so too.
I really like that because I'm sick and tired of it being like, oh gosh, we have to save the planet or the galaxy. At this point, the stakes are so low, I'm just like, nah, fuck it, let it go. It's fine. I would like to see one man rescue a baby.
Also, Holly has done really good TV. Like, Legion is weird and smart and strange, and Fargo is like... To come in and take a like beloved property like Fargo and to make it a good TV show was a damn near impossible task. He is one of the best guys working in TV, so that gives me a lot of confidence in this.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's been anything really good with Aliens since 1986.
That is correct.
Aliens came out. Everything else has been some stripe of it's okay. Yeah. It's just a perpetuation of the license. This could, as the first time I've actually thought, oh, I could actually watch this. I think of something like how good Sarah Connor Chronicles was.
Right, and it's a similar thing where the movies just didn't deliver. But
is Ridley Scott going to be involved at all, producer or whatever?
Oh, no.
I'm sure he's involved somehow.
Am I going to see those Prometheus people in it?
It's going to open 2001 style with the Prometheus people. a 15-minute... come on, you can imagine it from the person who did Legion. That would be perfect for him.
Nick, if that happens, I'll have to kill you.
Yeah, it's your fault, Nick.
What, by breathing it into existence?
Speaking of coming to TV and a thing that I did not ever expect, they're making a Willow original series coming to Disney in 2022. The pilot's going to be directed by John M. Chu, who did Crazy Rich Asians, and who is doing Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings.
Yep.
I think, right?
No, I don't think it is.
Is he not doing... Did they just steal most of the cast from Crazy Rich Asians for that?
I don't think they stole any of the cast.
Because for Shang-Chi?
No, that's
Aquafina
somebody...
Aquafina is in it.
Aquafina's in it, but Shang-Chi is somebody else. John Chu is going to be Snake Eyes.
No, John Chu is the director.
Or not John Chu, but the main guy is going to be Snake Eyes. He's not.
I thought the main guy from Crazy Asians was the guy they cast as Shang-Chi.
No. Somebody else.
Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay. Okay, all right.
All right, but let's get back on topic here. Who here has seen Willow?
I have seen Willow.
Multiple times. Awesome movie.
I've seen Willow, but I was like six, so
it's a good time to see.
Not to make y'all feel old or anything.
I'll build.
Nick, you're right. It's the lead from Kim's Convenience.
I don't know what that is.
Who's playing Shang-Chi?
That's the sitcom, right?
Yeah, Canadian sitcom.
So Willow I'm generally happy to hear this because I like Willow. I don't love it. It's kind of a derivative property, but the combination of George Lucas and directed by Ron Howard, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, like Warwick Davis really doing a very good job as his character. Super charisma. I think peak charisma. Val Kilmer matched only perhaps by his Tombstone role. you know, there a lot of things came together, and Willow's a very fun, watchable movie, if not like the least derivative of things.
Also, really good Kevin Pollak as a brownie.
That's true. Oh, and you know what?
Wow, I'd forgotten that.
It had a great James Horner score, and sadly, James Horner is no longer with us. I actually do hope that they find a composer kind of who can have some of that same vibrancy and adventuresomeness that his music had.
Did they release any ideas of what the story is going to be, or?
So just to button up this John M. Chu thing real quick, he's directing In the Heights,
Yes.
And then he's directing the live-action Lilo and Stitch. So I don't know where I got the idea he was directing a Marvel movie. But here's the thing I found while looking up his Wikipedia. His daughter is named Willow Chu, and she is named after the fantasy film Willow.
Whoa.
So I think the show is in safe hands.
That's delightful.
That's nuts.
So yes, do we know anything? I don't even know anything about story.
I heard that Warwick Davis is returning.
Yay!
And he's proven to be a really good actor and have sharp comedic timing in various shows.
I love that.
And so I assume, like, how old is he now? 50s? I think early 50s?
I think so too, yeah.
I heard that he was like, God, when he played Wicket in Return of the Jedi, I think he was like 9 or something like that. He was really young.
Oh my God.
George Lucas and the child labor laws.
So, yeah.
So
Lucas,
Dave,
does like the little people.
Some Willow trivia. Was Clint Howard in Willow? Anywhere? Is this the one Ron Howard? Ron Howard movie?
There's a lot of horrible monsters he could have played. there's a troll in it. There's hideous masked people. but I don't know. I don't know of him playing anyone.
So the thing about Willow is, like, Willow's a big epic story. It's like the child who's destined to overthrow the evil queen or something, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do with the show? Is it gonna be post?
Right. They did sort of overthrow the queen, or that, you know, they fulfilled the prophecy by the end of it. But I will say this: I know that George Lucas and Chris Claremont collaborated on some novels that I gather kind of like Chris Claremont, some of his dark fantasy comics like he did for Marvel's Epic line, like I think it was called Black Dragon. They were real dark novels, and I think they were about like the maybe the daughter of like Mad Mardigan and his girl Sorsha. But I think it jumped forward a lot in time, and I think it kind of became as much a Claremont dark fantasy vehicle. It almost sounded like it swerved away from what it was, which was this kind of big heroic fantasy, honestly a very mainstream thing and pretty big budget. You know, before Lord of the Rings kind of did that, their fantasy movies usually had kind of a schlock budget, and this had like early morphing effects and you know.
I didn't know Black Dragon was related to Willow in any way.
It's not. I only mentioned it as like a tone thing. Okay. Claremont was doing, like, when he did fantasy, it was always dark tinged stuff. Like even his X-Men thing with Kulan Goth was super dark. So, you know, I don't think they're going to take any cues from those books, though. I think they're going to, like, I think they may show that, the prophecy was more complicated than they thought, or, you know, other bad things have happened. You know, we don't know a whole lot about the whole world setting. It's kind of like they did their Star Wars, right? And
you want this to be their Mandalorian?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that'd be the way to think about it. Almost like if that whole movie was the original trilogy, and they're going to have, you know, hopefully an interesting sort of post-war world. But yeah, I don't think we know details.
All right, that was all for Dave and the excitement of Willow. This one may all be for Anna. We saw the trailer for Mass Effect, the new Mass Effect.
I'm so fucking stoked. I could kill a person right now.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I have a Mass Effect tattoo.
I know, and you're like, renegade, which of course, because you want to kill people.
I actually have a Paragon tattoo because I want to kill people.
That's not how Paragons work.
Yeah, it is. You just gotta kill bad people, Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's always the renegade option, Anna.
I literally wear a Mass Effect hoodie like every day that it is cold enough. It is my favorite like property. It was like the first thing that like really hit me like right in the like sweet spot of like special interest. And it also hit me at like the perfect time. I was a depressed wreck with tons of time on my hands, so I quickly became pretty obsessed with it. So
it is a super deep world setting.
Yeah.
And then has some of the best characterizations, if not like it might actually be like the best that I've seen in a video game overall. Just flat out the best. Yeah.
And obviously in my extremely biased opinion, I would definitely agree with that. But as I rewatched the trailer, I'm almost 90% positive it's going to be, like, a sequel in the far-flung future. Because the Citadel did get wrecked at the end of Mass Effect 3, and it looked like they were flying through wreckage. And what I'm guessing is happening is that we are seeing the sort of, like, launch of humanity's first venture back into space after the destruction of the Mass Effect relays in the Citadel. And I bet you money that that is where the game is going to start, and that they're going to focus more on a frontier aspect than sort of like the very high sci-fi, high concept sci-fi stuff that the original
Right, they were like at that Star Trek level where there's major alien races and there's major alliances and stuff. And it sounds like things will be more, maybe more fragmented now, or at least that seems like a likely possibility.
We did see, I mean, the Mass Effect Andromeda did that sort of survival sci-fi thing, and I think did not go over as well.
Yeah, but nobody likes to talk about... So the reason why Mass Effect Andromeda didn't go over well is because EA sucks as a game developer. And I know that the answer is that they haven't learned their lesson, but I am holding out hope that, like, the sixth time is the charm, and that maybe, just maybe, they'll let BioWare do their fucking jobs and make good-ass video games.
You know, my brother is, just by random chance, is currently replaying, or maybe he never finished Mass Effect Andromeda, so he restarted it a few weeks ago, and I think he's enjoying the ride. It's definitely a lesser outing, you know, is basically after the original trilogy of games had completed and all that.
It's not a terrible game. My son's been playing it too. Like, it's got stuff to recommend it. It's just
it doesn't have the magic
on the level.
It technically takes place simultaneously during and after. Not to put on my nerd hat.
How dare you get nerdy on us? I don't like it.
I know that this is a jock podcast and that you guys are going to shove me into a locker, but...
Alright, last bit of news before we dive into Star Wars and Marvel. There's a trailer up for one of Netflix's new shows coming January 5th. That show is Nicolas Cage's History of Swearing.
History of Swearing.
I swear to God, if this had been dropped in April, I would have thought this was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
My mouth was open for the entire trailer. I could not fucking believe what I was hearing.
It's got Nicolas Cage painting, and he's like doing some kind of like Georgia O'Keeffe naughty painting.
And talking about the word.
Using all these sort of euphemisms to talk around what he's painting.
It's like very Claremontian prose, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Like super over the top.
I feel like it's like Bob Ross plus Alton Brown going on, plus Nicolas Cage. It's crazy. And I cannot wait. Like, also, there's an academia to it. Like, I'm curious about the history of all the various swear words.
Yeah.
And Nicolas Cage doing it. Like, this sounds like a ton of fun.
You
and
know,
the trailer has exactly the right tone you want.
Anyone who's familiar with Van Halen's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge is familiar with at least some of the basic precepts of where did we get our swear words. But I've often heard that that is in fact apocryphal, that is not how we got the F-bomb, and this, finally, I never thought this would happen, but Nicolas Cage will be the one to clear it up for me.
I can't wait for Nicolas Cage to say pussy.
It's
on.
This is gonna be weird. I'm excited for it. I think it looks like fun. And,
I think that every episode whatever the episode is, they should find his movies that use those words and cut a sizzle reel together of him demonstrating how you use swears.
It wouldn't shock me, honestly. I would not be shocked at all.
But yeah, this, I don't know, does anybody think it's a bad idea? I think it's obviously great.
It's amazing.
No, it looks great.
I think it's a badass idea.
this is the energy I want to roll into 2021 with. Nicolas Cage talking about swearing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
This is the future liberals want.
There was also that line in there where, like, he's going off about the word without saying it, where he's like, it's caused women to move in with each other way too quickly. I was very, very stoked to hear that.
There is some sly dialogue just in the trailer that speaks well to what they might be doing with it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk Star Wars. there were 8 new series announced. We knew about some of them, but not most of them. We got 2 new trailers and some casting news, and I'm just going to run it down. So I'm going to run down the new series first, just like here's the breakdown, and then we'll talk more in detail.
This, by the way, just real quick, this came out of like a expo, like an investors expo.
Yeah.
An investors expo. Disney was like, "Hey, keep giving us money. We promise we got some really good commercials coming up."
And did we know that any of these were coming? We didn't know
some of them. So we'd heard about Andor. We knew Cassian Andor.
Yeah, we knew
the next thing coming, which we got a sizzle reel for. But we knew about Obi-Wan.
But just based on watching the reaction of my friends and stuff on Facebook and social media, it seems like that investor meeting did its job. Those guys would probably be okay, go ahead and give Disney all the money. We're ready for them to take over the country more than they already have.
Put the mouse-headed soldiers on the streets.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, not to interrupt, but I did have to Google what Oscar Isaac's butt looks like since we were talking about Star Wars again. And I did find this incredible article that says, and I quote, "Oscar Isaac says it's hard to fit his butt and ethnic hips into the Millennium Falcon seat." So the good thing there is that Oscar Isaac has a great butt. The bad thing there is, I guess, Harrison Ford doesn't. So it's a bittersweet moment
sadly.
For me.
Yeah.
Rip Harrison Ford's butt.
Rip Harrison Ford's butt.
Well, I hope somewhere Finn is enjoying it. All right, on with the show on that note.
Yes. So the list of Star Wars projects, before we get into details. We have Andor, Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, The Acolyte, Star Wars Visions, Bad Batch, and A Droid Story.
Which droid? Goodness gracious.
So, it's C-3. It's always going to be R2-D2 and C-3.
I don't want that.
Don't get me wrong. If they were to do a droid story that was Chopper.
Yeah.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
I suddenly can't remember her name, but I'd watch the droid from Solo, except, well...
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of options for her future, technically.
I would really like the Nightmare Murder Droid, HK-47 from the Knights of the Old Republic games, just him going around being a just terrible bastard calling people meatbags.
I feel like that's what Chopper is, too. We never hear what Chopper says, but clearly he's saying scandalous things.
Yeah. Star Wars has its very personable droids, and of course there's the Rogue One Imperial droid.
So this one's going to be an animated story, and I don't know too much about it, but their animation's been on point. So it's going to be R2-D2 and C-3PO. I believe there's like a character who they're going to be attached to that's important to the Rebellion or something. So I don't know. These guys have been in every single bit of Star Wars. Like, they're always there. He got built by Darth Vader. And then they're around for Force Awakens, and C-3PO has Sith coding or something now. They definitely have been through everything, so putting them in the middle of another story makes sense. I don't know how much I love a droid story, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm curious. I feel like a little goes a long way with that pair, and that's why I like them as supporting characters, so I don't know. But I'm also kind of fascinated by the challenge of bringing them a little bit of nuance to them. C-3PO had a little bit of nuance and depth in that last Star Wars movie when they thought he might have to die and stuff. So I'd kind of like to see what they do with it.
One, not to to correct you, but Darth Vader didn't build R2-D2.
He built C-3PO.
He built C-3PO, but also I would really like to see, and obviously this wouldn't fit into a droid story, but like a Dr. Aphra series, like a little Marvel Comics tie-in. That would be delightful. Yeah. Because
and give them clearly like one,
too.
Just one more year or something, and it'll happen.
What if they're saying? What if they're saying it's an R2 and C-3PO show, and instead they put out a 000 and a BT?
Aren't they?
That'd be amazing.
Let me just quick ask: Is that the right silhouette profile broadly?
It
a little
is.
Squat
they're
droid
much,
and a,
yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
almost identical.
So they could do like a mystery character flanked on either side by the silhouettes that look like R2 and C-3PO and secretly reveal it actually is Dr. Aphra.
I would
they
lose
could. They're
my
not
going to,
but that'd be great.
I think it'd be
right.
a good idea, too.
They announced, this was not maybe as much of a surprise, but certainly a pleasant to hear. They're doing an Ahsoka series starring Rosario Dawson.
Yep.
After seeing her in the Mandalorian, and I wonder if this is going to be her quest for Thrawn that was teased in there. Like, I'm stoked for this. I'm looking forward to it.
I have some complicated feelings about it, but what don't I have complicated feelings about?
Yeah, but you know, they did, like, the lawsuit or whatever has been dropped against her, and it sounds like maybe it was more her mom than anything else.
And I do hope that's true. And again, like, I don't know what happened. I'm not in her life, unfortunately. But, like, you know, I still am sort of just a little...
I think it's very fair to have ambiguous or feelings on that. I think that's legit. I know that here's my thing. I want to believe because I like Rosario Dawson. I like her as an actress. I like her as somebody who I've had a crush on forever. And so I wanted her to be as cool as I want her to be.
Keanu Reeves, who is apparently the coolest man.
Yeah, we want all celebrities to be Keanu Reeves.
Now, Keanu is actually he and Tom Hanks are some of the only holdouts. They are probably part of those pizza ring cabals.
Dave, why would you even bring that up?
But I am now picturing Keanu Reeves as Ahsoka, and I do really like it. So.
But
you
I'll
can
say
see
this.
That. You can watch Last Samurai. No, that's Tom Cruise. He's in... what's the one where he's...
47 Ronin.
47 yeah. Ronin. If you want to see him as the White Savior, he's done
Man.
That.
Yeah.
But, like, who's going to... like, if I had a chance to be in, like, a samurai movie, I'd take it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, we know, yeah.
So here's the thing. Her brief appearance as Ahsoka in Mandalorian was super dope. She was awesome in it. A little scary, actually. She was pretty hardcore.
I was gonna say she is kind of hardcore by the end of her last appearance in the animated series, isn't she?
Well, yeah, she's seen some shit. I mean, her master turned out to be the person who slew all the Jedi. So
not just
you know,
all the
gonna,
Jedi, but like children too. So.
Yeah, that's gonna leave a mark.
To think that the guy who once upon a time called her Snips slaughtered a schoolroom of children.
Hey, Snips, watch me murder these younglings.
Oh, jeez.
But, potentially that sounds really cool. I will say that overall, I was almost overwhelmed by all this. I'm like, I don't think I really like Star Wars. I kind of don't necessarily want it in every day of my life. But, like, these sound pretty good, so it's clearly going to get more of my time in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I'm just hoping the Ahsoka series can bring in characters like Sabine or Ezra, who are sort of had things left over after Rebels.
And they did, so... Oh, yeah, yeah, I was about to... I thought you were talking Clone Wars characters for a minute, and I was like, oh, did anybody... Who else survived? Like, there's not that many... But Rebels, yeah, those are about other peoples.
I would also just love to see a live-action Thrawn. I would love to see some Heir to the Empire stuff.
Oh, we're
one of my favorites.
That.
I'm 100% sure we're going to see live-action Thrawn.
Yeah,
there's no doubt in my mind.
I love him.
Did they do a good job with him when they had him on... Was it Clone Wars or Rebels?
He was on Rebels.
And he was great on Rebels.
I mean, Rebels was a little sillier than I would have liked, but...
That's what
I mean, it was a cartoon, but... I don't know. He was good. He was fun. I didn't like his eyes. They didn't canonize the Chiss red eyes from the Legacy can. Sorry, I'm a nerd. I'm a turbo nerd.
Wow.
Yeah, that was like some of your stuff. That was your.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
I like ran a big roleplay guild on Star Wars: The Old Republic for like 5 years.
Goodness gracious.
They also announced Rangers of the New Republic, which is set in Mandalorian continuity, which I'm excited about because one of the things I didn't like about the new trilogy, and I have a list of things, one of them was that they basically took the New Republic and just punked them out so they could do the First Order Resistance thing again. And I'm like, man, I wanted to see what the post-Empire New Republic government looked like.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be an entire series following the two X-Wing pilots.
You mean the one played by Dave Filoni?
No, no, no! The ones in this season that saved
shot up his
Mandalorian
ship.
And
yeah,
I'm just really, really crossing my fingers in the hope that what's her name, Gina Carano?
Gina Carano.
Isn't it?
I know.
We're just
She's a marshal of the New Republic. I don't think... I mean, here's the thing. It's possible they were developing this long before any of the controversies. And Cara Dune was a very successful character. And the thing is, what drives me crazy is she's still a really good character.
Yeah.
I like the character. I just hate the actress.
The problem is that her behavior has completely killed my interest in basically, like, the only Star Wars property I've liked in, like, 5 years.
That sucks.
That sucks. I'm also hopeful that she is not in this Range of the New Republic series.
So, and she either probably perhaps won't be, or is the star of it.
Yeah, so, you know.
And they just didn't want to bust that out on Investor Day.
So, then there's the news that Hayden Christensen is going to return as Darth Vader in the Obi-Wan show. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Well, you know, I had a friend say, like, I had a friend who was like, why are y'all excited? Didn't he suck? But I think the deal is, like, almost all of us after the prequels, whatever else our thoughts on them, recognize that this was, like, the lowest point of George Lucas's ability to direct actors. And talented people like, Natalie Portman, and who played Obi-Wan?
Ewan McGregor.
They barely were okay, you know?
Yeah, they're all, like, incredible actors.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I, you know, it's kind of one of those things. For me, I kind of like it because I like a second shot. I like a redemption story, and I hope he brings it. Now who is he playing?
He's gonna. I bet you anything, he'll be playing a Force ghost of Darth Vader.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah,
that would be really cool.
Talking with Obi-Wan.
When is Obi-Wan set?
Yeah, he can't be a Force ghost. He's Darth Vader.
Yeah, Obi-Wan dies before him. That's the short version.
Is he going to reprise the role of Darth Vader?
Are there going to be flashbacks?
He can play him.
Well,
the thing is, like, Darth Vader doesn't know where Obi-Wan is.
Yeah, when Obi-Wan is on Tatooine, Vader is just off killing people and being an asshole.
Maybe they're just writing letters to one another, like Downton Abbey, like some Pride and Prejudice style. They're just writing like shitty purple ass letters to one another.
It's a rap battle via HoloVid.
So I guess Obi-Wan has to take place before Star Wars. So timeline is messed up in my head.
And basically, Anakin he doesn't look like Anakin anymore. So it's either going to have to be, like, flashbacks, some kind of, if not a Force ghost, maybe something like that.
Flashbacks to the Clone Wars.
Flashes would be interesting. They can flesh out the Clone Wars stuff with live action in a way that they didn't really get a chance to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, generally Dave Filoni and all those guys, they have now done all the heavy lifting of, I'm not going to say redeeming the prequels, but making sure that, like, fans find that there could be these pockets of like that the structure was had places for cool ideas, and they're like, this is what we would have done with it, sort of, and a lot of that stuff is actually very cool.
Now Obi-Wan's just gonna flash back to him killing younglings and him killing all the Tusken Raiders.
That's just all it is. Yeah.
He's gonna dream every night about how he holds the high ground.
Yeah. You know that meme of like Wolverine staring at a picture of Gene and Scott?
Yeah.
It's gonna be that, and it's just gonna be Obi-Wan looking at a picture of him slaughtering younglings.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Alright, this one was a new development, at least as far as I know. They're doing that new series called The High Republic, which is like gonna be sort of their new Knights of the Old Republic era. It sounds like it's gonna be the height of the Jedi.
Isn't
and that
like
kind
200
of thing.
Years ago or something? Like yeah.
Basically, so before like bureaucratic collapse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is sort of it feels like new expanded universe stuff, except it's in continuity, which the expanded universe
that's actually,
was at some point too.
I think I kind of missed this announcement, but that sounds interesting to me because it feels like it would have a different vibe than other Star Wars stuff.
We're going to see this in January because there's going to be novels, there's going to be a comic book series. And this is like when they did Shadows of the Empire. They're basically introducing a new series period in the canon.
Yeah.
And set during that period, the High Republic era, is a show called The Acolyte, which is from Russian doll creator Leslie Headland, and is described as a mystery thriller set in the High Republic era.
Interesting.
Which sounds like nothing else in Star Wars.
That's wild. That sounds really awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's, right? That sounds
I'm so excited about this.
Also, just like the Old Republic era, well, like the old Republic era that was like, you know, 20,000 years ago, so as not to intermingle with the current canon. It's one of my favorite like periods in the Star Wars canon or expanded canon.
Is this based on the Old Republic games stuff?
Well, yeah, so, like, that era of stuff is my favorite area of the canon, so I'm really hoping that this is, like, reminiscent of that, because if they can even somewhat recapture the, like, vibe and, like, the sort of, like, swashbuckling adventure of the SWTOR and KOTOR games, I'd be really, really, really stoked.
I can see that. I think that might that maybe what they're aiming for is to sort of bring... Because that's what Filoni's been doing, a lot of that, bringing these sort of legacy stuff back into continuity. He's just dragging it all back in and sort of reinventing it. I'm good with that. I'm glad to see it back. I want my Mara Jade back. I want, if we're going to bring the stuff back, I want Mara Jade.
No,
unfortunately, I think the ship sailed on that one.
It hasn't. You could totally have that be the reason that he went off to a planet by himself.
That's true. I feel like he can sneak it in. He doesn't have to be Mega Bachelor.
Yes. Mega Bachelor versus Godzilla.
Godzilla is a Mega Bachelor. Only Mothra ever tempted him.
There's a 3 men and a baby joke in here somewhere. With Godzilla, Mothra, and maybe Ghidorah.
3 men and a King Ghidorah.
Anyway,
but yeah, that sounds potentially cool to me. I honestly, I wish these were. I mean, I guess they are going to be spread out a little bit, but that's it's so like a lot of these sound cool to me. I was already interested in the Cassian Andor one because I kind of like the idea of like a kind of a. I didn't love Rogue One, but I'm down with the idea of these sort of gritty Rebel Underground, you know, morally gray stuff. Yeah, that sounds like a cool premise to me. I'm going to at least want to for sure try Ahsoka. And, like, all these other ones sound like they have a lot of potential, too. This one, because it sounds the most different from all of them. Or these two, I guess.
I think they announced, like, 5 years worth of stuff here. Like, this is not all going to take place in 2021.
Right, the world could actually end before any of these come out.
From what I understood, I thought it was, like, the next 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Is it really? Wow.
If it's the next 3 years, that's going to be bonkers.
That's not that crazy. That's only 3 projects a year. That's not the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, just... but I'm just worried I'm going to burn out.
Well, I mean...
What if they're all good?
Yeah, if they're all on the level of The Mandalorian, which with Dave Filoni, they've seen that he can not only handle other animated stuff, but he's got a handle on live action now.
He's got to be a stinker.
Jon Favreau is...
Nah, man.
I would imagine Jon Favreau is going to continue to sort of shepherd it. Like Kevin Feige does with the Marvel stuff, so I mean,
I think Dave Filoni is the Kevin Feige of all this stuff. I think he's the one shepherding all.
Yeah, but Jon Favreau balances him out.
I give credit for Favreau, but I believe that Filoni is the guy with the keys to the kingdom.
Filoni has the lore and he has the knowledge. Favreau has the ability to sort of make it mainstream. And sort of remind people that this is Star Wars. Yes, there's this show that has a dark saber, and you can look at the lore and all that. But on the surface, it's also just another. It's just a very entertaining show.
Hey, remember how I said there were 8 Star Wars series? There's actually 9. I missed one. There is a Lando series in development from Dear White People's Justin Simien.
Yep. Oh, that's delightful.
I don't know if you guys watch Dear White People, but it's great.
It's very fun.
And
who's playing
I'm
Lando?
That's a question. I mean, Donald Glover, he can do it.
Yeah.
I bet it'll be a combo of Donald Glover and
Billy Dee. Would be the best.
Oh, that would be
and Billy Dee Williams.
If they did older Lando, Billy Dee, and then younger Lando.
Yeah, I'd like that.
That'd be the best.
You know, one of the sort of weird out of left field plot points in Rise of Skywalker was Lando like pairing off with one of the new rebellion type, that lady to what was she going to do? Try and go find her past, find her connection to the Jedi or something?
I saw that referenced over the weekend of like that was going to be a part of the show. And actually, that makes sense.
That's one of those things where they could kind of redeem a flat plot point, could become interesting, you know, with a show that could develop it. And then, flashback with, you know, relevant remembrances of his past and all this stuff. That'd be dope. Oh, good. One more I have to watch.
Also, Dave, you're gonna watch this one too. Star Wars Visions, which is an anime series coming in 2021. I think our buddy Fathery described this basically, and I think this is what made me want to watch it. He's like, it looks like it's going to be the Animatrix, but for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And the Animatrix to date is the only good Matrix project after the first movie.
That is correct.
The Matrix video game was fun.
No, the Matrix video game was not good. I played that video game.
Well, you're wrong. No. It was good.
I'm glad that you didn't make a comment about my comment, because I figured it would have just been derisive anyway.
What was your comment?
That Matrix 2 and 3 are great, and I'll die on this hill.
I've heard they're defenders. Are you a legit defender, or are you saying that ironically?
I mean, so complicated. There are some parts that are, like, really doofy, but, like, I do actually really like that stupidly massive car chase and also the naked rave to Rage Against the Machine. Those are great. Those are awesome. I want to have a stupid car chase.
I will say, on rewatch, the second one is not as bad as I remember. The third one is, though.
Do y'all remember when we were doing the comics poll, like, in the last year, and we put on the Matrix 2,
yes.
And, like, the car chase started... And then we, like, did the entire comics poll, and the car chase was still going.
Yeah, it's literally a 45-minute scene.
Yes.
It is like an entire Fast and Furious movie stuffed inside of the Matrix.
But,
So before we talk trailers...
Yeah.
Well, there's one more Star Wars property.
Yes, there is. Patty Jenkins is going to direct Rogue Squadron in 2023.
Yeah. That's an actual movie, right?
Yeah, this is a theatrical one.
I hope they're going to give Wedge his due.
It seems maybe this is finally the day.
Yeah,
because Rogue Squadron was so developed in the EU and is one of the most beloved things, and it just got shut out into nothing.
There's also, it's actually really fascinating, there is a... Star Wars radio drama that was developed, like, in concert with George Lucas, using some bits and pieces of the original script, in which Biggs has, like, a much more, like, fleshed-out role as, like, a mentor to Luke Skywalker and sort of, like, something of his early moral compass, where he's talking about leaving the Imperial Academy to go join the Rebels because he believes strongly in, like, the Rebels' values. And I would really like to see some of this, like, Antifa Biggs. I think that would be dope.
Yeah, Star Wars, take a perspective. Star Wars has always been anti-fascist, but it's in such a sort of fantasy way that they don't always really ask exactly the hard questions. Yeah. And I feel like Andor is a place that they can do that, and maybe this one as well. I assume it would have all kinds of World War II cool pilot-y camaraderie and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just excited that Patty Jenkins has definitely made friends with Warner Brothers, and she's continuing to work for them. And
this isn't Warner Brothers, this is Disney.
Or Disney. Oh, right, sorry.
She's transferring. She's
transferring.
From HBO Max.
That's true.
She betrayed them.
Warner Bros.
I guess she is done with Wonder Woman then.
Did she direct Wonder Woman 84?
Yeah, she did.
She did. Yeah.
So we're going to know in about 2 weeks, generally, the response to that.
Yep.
Yeah. Last couple bits of Star Wars trailers. There was a sizzle reel for Andor, which didn't have much new footage, but did have a lot of Diego Luna talking about it, being very excited, and then the costume people in the set.
Yeah, they showed him doing creature effects and storyboards. There's going to be a speeder bike in there.
They talk about the level of it, that they're basically viewing it as like 12 mini-movies, and it looks really good. I'm excited. The notion that this... I'm not a big Rogue One fan. I have significant issues with the movie, but I think that one of the issues I had is that the characters were interesting, but they didn't develop them in the movie, and so I would love to see them do more with them here.
I want to see the flashback to the unspoken love nest between the blind guy and his buddy.
Yeah, the heavy trooper and the blind samurai. Force adept. He's a force adept.
But I don't think we're gonna get that because that Rogue One was the first time they met.
Yeah,
was it?
This is gonna be.
I thought they had been partners for a while or something.
No one would notice.
Well, no, Cassian never.
Cassian met them.
Yeah, just retcon it. No one would notice.
I think this is all going to be Cassian, K2SO, and the Rebellion.
Him just doing like hardcore Brubaker stuff.
Well, I am.
That'd be dope as hell.
I am always stoked to see more Alan Tudyk, so...
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And then the last trailer for Star Wars, we got the trailer for The Bad Batch, which is following up from the final, not kidding, for real this time, final season of The Clone Wars, which they've done like 3 times, and Bad Batch is technically another final season of The Clone Wars, which, by the way, I'm not complaining about. They can make the final season of Clone Wars 100 times.
Well, technically, this is not Clone Wars anymore. This is the Empire has risen here, so we're actually...
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to be rooting for the bad guys.
The Bad Batch were awesome when they were introduced in the last season of Clone Wars.
Yeah, they're amazing.
So tell me, as I don't know them well, who are they?
They're a bunch of troopers who, like, there were genetic mismatches in their coding, so they're not clones like the rest. They actually, like, one of them is called Specs, and he has glasses, and he has all these sensory abilities. One of them is like a big, beefy guy who's like oversized. I forget what all the different abilities are, but they're basically all misfit clones.
Yeah, he's like the heavy from Team Fortress, it's essentially Team Fortress inside.
Right. Well, they got all weird deformities that in fact made them cool.
Yeah,
they give them like superpowers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like fine. That's a classic. That's a tradition, and very much honestly, that's very much an X-Men or any other kind of style thing.
Yeah, yeah, but
they're like the A-Team or the Dirty Dozen or whatever, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They came in and worked with Rex and those guys, and they're very unconventional, that kind of thing. I'll be interested to see how they're working with the Empire.
Because Tarkin,
it looks
we
like
see
they
Tarkin.
Be like a special unit. Yeah, it looks like they're maybe a special unit for the Empire, which is interesting.
Do we know, their history, like, that there's any certain time when they die or anything?
No,
they're fairly new characters. We don't know.
So do we know that, like, they're going to, like, work for long with the Empire? Like, episode one could be them saying, like, wow, things have really changed ever since the Emperor declared this. We need to get out of here. And then the rest of the series is them being hunted by the Emperor or something.
We don't know any of it. So, okay. Yeah, it's possible. Who knows?
Again, I do hope that is what happens, because, boy howdy, I can't tell you how little I want a pro-Empire TV series in 2020.
What if they kill younglings all the time, though?
I mean, if they are going to kill children, I guess it's probably morally upright.
This episode, the Bad Batch murders a bunch of younglings, while Darth Vader looks on and applauds.
I feel like they do that every week.
Well, this would have been happening at the same time that Darth Vader was hunting down the Jedi that survived Order 66. So,
right,
we'll see.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Maybe Hayden Christensen can show up in this one too.
You know what's interesting? I don't know that they do this, but they could put Grogu into these, because this is about the time that he'd be.
Oh shit! Yeah,
he'd be like escaping as a youngling from the temple.
Yeah,
to show how he escaped.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me someone at Disney isn't like, "Hey, put Baby Yoda in more stuff."
I want to play a video game that's like Baby Yoda escape from Coruscant or something like that, which is like a little side-scrolling platformer with lots of crazy hopping and jumping.
See, I was picturing like a Thief style stealth game, but you're picturing more of a Mario Brothers.
Yep,
game.
Yep. You'll like ride around on mouse droids and stuff like that. Those will be the Yoshis.
All right, let us divert from a galaxy far, far away and talk about all the Marvel news. This, for me, I think, was the same thing that for Anna. Like, you keep hoping for good stuff from Star Wars, but Marvel has honestly rarely, if ever, let me down.
Well, you were not super thrilled about Phase 4.
No, I was not so much thrilled about, but I kind of felt like, well, Endgame really did end everything, and... Then COVID happened, and I'm like, are they going to just kind of wind down? We haven't heard a lot. I mean, they're talking about stuff, but I'm wondering if maybe they're just going to kind of slowly wind things down.
Nope.
No, they are not. No, they are not. They announced a million things. There's going to be like, I mean, you say there's a lot of Marvel. You say there's a lot of Star Wars. It is nothing compared to the amount of Marvel stuff they just announced.
Yeah, there is a ton.
All right, shall we reel on through it?
All right, so going through the stuff that was actually, I think we had this a little bit beforehand, but Hawkeye cast, I don't know how much we knew of this, but Hayley Steinfeld is playing Kate Bishop, which is great.
Yep. Very excited.
But that's not his daughter, right?
No, it is not his daughter.
Okay, somebody else. He's going to be mentoring somebody else then, presumably.
He's going to be mentoring. It's the Matt Fraction series, and they've got Pizza Dog in it.
Yep.
And they're still showing them. Like, they are very clearly doing the Matt Fraction series.
Yeah, because one of the cast members is the clown.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do the Tracksuit Draculas. That'll be great.
Oh, I cannot. Bro.
Vera Farmiga is playing her mother, Kate Bishop's mother. And Tony Dalton, who plays Lalo on Better Call Saul and is great at Menace, is playing the swordsman.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know what's weird is that, of course, movie Hawkeye himself, very different from comic Hawkeye. Comic Hawkeye is kind of doofus bachelor, kind of, I don't know,
snarky.
Drunk, whatever.
But here's the thing. We don't know that much about Hawkeye's background in the movies. We just know he showed up as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, that he and Black Widow had history. So if they're going to go back and show the swordsman and show him having his history with his brother and how he got his training and all that kind of stuff, I am all for that. I imagine that they won't be in the circus. I think probably they'll be like, swordsman will be a S.H.I.E.L.D. special op who goes bad or something. But I'm all about seeing more of Hawkeye's background and letting him do stuff. He, in the movies, he had to kind of be the weird guy with the bow and arrow.
Yep.
And at the more street level, I think he'll do a lot more fun things with him. I think he's going to work great.
I'm going to apologize in advance. A train is driving by my apartment and is probably going to go toot toot in a minute really obnoxiously. Just a heads up.
I do want to see... wow, that is a motherfucking train.
Yeah.
I do want to see, I don't know, Hawkeye be a little more fun and snarky and not so put together. Because, like, there is a panel from Matt Fraction's run of Hawkeye where he's, like, in his sweatpants at, like, 3 p.m. drinking straight out of the pot of coffee. And that is, like, the most relatable Hawkeye.
Well, I imagine he's going to be going through some things after what he did in Endgame.
Right.
Yeah, that's
literally became the Punisher.
Yeah,
for five years.
Well,
and that brings up a thing that Dave and I were talking about earlier, which they've also cast an actress for a Native American actress to play Echo.
Right.
Who's
a lesser known character? Randy, let's just quick say who Echo is.
So Echo is she's a woman who showed up in Daredevil and Kevin Smith's Daredevil. She is deaf and she's a martial artist, and then she became Ronin after Hawkeye. And we were thinking, if Ronan shows up in this show, and Hawkeye's like, wait a minute, I was Ronan, who is this? They could do the whole Echo story.
Yeah.
Did you say Kevin Smith's Daredevil? It was
Bendis.
Bendis's Daredevil.
Was it Bendis?
Yeah, it was Bendis and Mac who came up with it.
It was just post Kevin Smith. Yeah. That's right. But yeah, I'm excited for all that.
Yeah, sounds great.
We've also gotten a lot of news about Spider-Man 3. Where Alfred Molina is going to be playing Doc Ock.
Wild.
Tobey Maguire.
Have they confirmed that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are coming back?
I believe so.
Right. So clearly there's going to be some sort of multiversal time hopping stuff.
Maybe, or they could be doing a recast.
No way. Not with all those actors. It has to be.
Well, especially because Doctor Strange is in it too.
Could you imagine if they do like an Ezekiel and the Slayer, the Spider?
That version.
Oh yeah,
that'd
give
them
something to do. Very different from the Spider Verse into the Spider Verse movie.
That way you can sort of bring in like Miles if you wanted to. But you could have
Ezekiel
all of those.
Could actually. This would be kind of messed up, but he could like hunt and kill these otherworldly these Spider-Mans from
other
movies.
Yeah,
that was what he did, and I'll say this: it's okay if you have to kill whoever was in like Amazing Spider-Man, but you can't kill Toby. That's messed up. He kind of launched the modern superhero era, and I would be sad if they killed him off even after the
kill
fact.
Him.
I had heard rumors that like Emma Stone was coming back as Gwen Stacy.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
And Kirsten Dunst is Mary Jane. So.
You know what I would honestly do, if just for dramatic purposes? I would do something where it looks like he very clearly kills Tobey Maguire sometime early on in it, and you're like, oh god, this guy means business or whatever, and have him survive and, like, I don't know, help mentor Tom Holland at some point while he himself is slowly getting back on his feet again, and then they can have a team up at the end.
No, I will accept him coming back and having a heroic moment where he saves Tom Holland, but he gotta die. No more Spider-Man. I want Tom Holland to be the Spider-Man of the Marvel Universe.
No, they're not gonna stay. They're gonna go back to their universe.
What are they?
Whatever.
What are they putting Doc Ock for? Like, didn't they beat up Doc Ock in Tobey?
Doc Ock dies.
Yeah, he dies.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Are they gonna do Superior Spider-Man?
Everybody's jumping to these crazy conclusions. You guys remember all the crazy speculation about Endgame and all the shit that was going to happen?
No.
They're going to find something that works. I don't think it's going to be Spider-Verse. I don't think it's the most obvious thing to do, and I don't think that's what they're going to do.
I think it is, but it's not going to be Spider-Verse like Miles. It's going to be their own spin, I bet, on like Ezekiel or something somewhat unexpected like that. By the way, did Doc Ock, in the comic tradition, did we see the body?
Well, I mean, he was like floating in like the depths of the ocean, kind of.
It's a pretty clear depth.
Yeah. Okay. But he's also a crazy scientist, and if they, like, they could map on something, perhaps.
Look. Forgot to mention, by the way, they're also bringing out Jamie Foxx to play Electro.
Yeah.
No.
But they've said he's not going to play the Electro from the movie. He's going to be a different-looking Electro.
Well, if that is the case, I don't know what to make of any of that, then. So.
I think, honestly, they're giving these actors a redemption and letting them play the characters in the real universe and not in Sony's bullshit Spider-Man universe.
That's so weird.
Except for,
but
Sony
also, like, Tobey Maguire, would he be playing a Spider-Man at all, or is he just going to be some guy?
He may not be playing a Spider-Man.
Yeah,
he may be playing somebody else.
I think that would be like really dumb, honestly.
I think Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield should play Peter Parker's gay parents who died as S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
What else we got, Randy, on the list?
Kevin Feige has confirmed that they are not going to recast T'Challa.
Yeah.
Black Panther 2, they didn't out and out say it's going to be Shuri, but it seems pretty clear.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about it, because to some degree I feel like the role, the character that existed, is bigger than any one actor. And
I agree.
I almost wouldn't say that of anything else, but that movie was so important to so many people, and beyond even what I could experience as, like, as a white dude, so far beyond, out of my world. I want people to have more of the Black Panther that they were just getting accustomed to.
Yeah.
T'Challa was going to take such a role in the MCU after all this. He was going to be the stand-in for Cap and Tony Stark at the same time.
Yeah.
It is a shame to lose him.
It's funny you should say that, because, like, I did see a lot of people talking on some social media stuff where they were like, no, recast him. I've seen 15 white guys play Bruce Wayne, and I can tell them all apart. I would like another Black Panther who is T'Challa. Yeah. That would be dope.
Yeah, that is honestly how I feel. Perhaps aided and abetted. Like, I love Shuri the character. The actress had to go and be anti-vaxxy.
Yes.
Anyway, I do have a fair amount of faith in Marvel to find the right course, and I don't know what led them to their decision. It's not, I think, what I would have done, but I think they probably have thought through whatever they're gonna do.
That's where I am too. Like, it's not what I would have done, but I'm sure that they didn't, like, do it lightly.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
All right, Christian Bale. We knew he was going to be in Thor: Love and Thunder, and his role has revealed as the God Butcher.
Yep.
From early in Jason Aaron's run.
Yeah, Boar? Right? Or
Gore. Gore,
the God Butcher. By the way, we also, I don't know if you guys saw this, Sif is going to return for Love and Thunder.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought Sif had died or something.
Yeah, they just sort of phased her out.
Yeah. She's the only one of the Warriors who did Warriors 3 plus 1, I guess.
Who lived.
Who did not die in Ragnarok, because she didn't see.
Was the actress just busy, or did they were they just jerks who didn't ask her to come back?
She was doing a show, Blind Spot, and she wasn't free. They talked about that. She wasn't free.
Huh.
You may hear my cat meowing.
I was like, what the hell noise is that?
He's being a little talkative, so I've brought him up into my lap to pet and relax him.
Moon Pie is so adorable.
Yes.
Moon Pie has joined the chat.
So I've heard some speculation on this one saying that they're going to do, like, the Jason Aaron story, where this one was split up into, like, the past, present, and future versions of Thor.
Right.
So we're going to get, like Old Man Thor, sort of before he ever came to Earth, or, like, the first time he came to Earth.
That would be where Sif shows up, like, back in the flashback stuff?
I mean, maybe. I mean, she's not dead.
Right. Well, I wonder, we know that Jane Foster is going to be Thor, but is that going to be, like, in the middle of the movie, or is that where they're going to end the movie?
Well, do we know anything about how they're structuring it? Like Nick, I think I missed what you were starting to say. Like, I know the comic was structured so that it was, like, young, brash Thor, contemporary Thor, future King Thor. Do we know if that's going to be followed in the movie?
No, we don't know anything for certain, but I've heard speculation, and I kind of like the idea of them at least taking that kind of layout for the movie.
That's a big ambitious thing to do for a movie, though.
Yeah.
But after Ragnarok, why not try to do something ambitious? Something.
I think I would go with, like, flashbacks and flash forwards, and, like, not do, like, maybe huge chunks of it, but maybe, like, who's directing it?
I don't remember the director.
It's not Taika Waititi.
It's Taika.
This is Taika.
So here's the thing. That's not his style. I think didn't they say it's going to be basically a romantic comedy?
What? Yeah, but Gore the God Butcher is not, like, I mean, you could sort of maybe do something, but doesn't quite fit the romantic
Planet
comedy.
Hulk doesn't sound like, you know, if you've read the comic, Planet Hulk is pretty humorless, but Planet Hulk the movie, as it appeared in Thor Ragnarok, had a lot of humor. There was
Surtur was not a goof either, and Taika Waititi sort of made him that. So I would not necessarily expect Gore the God Butcher to be the hardcore Gore the God Butcher in this. Taika Waititi, that's not his style.
Let me rephrase that. Christian Bale doesn't strike me as a romantic comedy kind of guy.
Yeah, I think that I almost wonder if they may kind of in response to some of the criticisms that they may want to make a bad guy who's really bad in it.
We'll see. I don't know. The Thor with Ragnarok was so successful for them. I don't see them going in a grim and gritty direction.
Well, you also have to have Jane Foster. You have to. We've been told that Valkyrie is going to have a much larger, portion.
Well, are they? Who's the romantic in the romantic comedy? Is it Jane and Valkyrie?
It's Jane and Thor.
But they broke up.
There are a billion rom-coms about people getting back together.
That's true. I guess I kind of thought that they were going to, like, sort of maybe let that one lie. But I do like the idea of, like, you know, them trying to put the pieces back together or something like that. But I would honestly also be happy if it was, like, you know, Thor and Sif, you know, with Jane as, like, the person who's the ex.
I think that there's plenty of love triangle stuff to do. You can do Thor and Sif and Jane. If you do something with Valkyrie, if they get brave, they can bring Valkyrie in as someone who has an interest in Jane or Sif.
Yep.
And you could do something like I don't see this. I don't know about the flashback thing. I don't know if we'll see it. I'd be fine with it, but I bet they're going somewhere farther afield.
We shall see.
But, yeah, I'm pretty hyped for that.
There were several trailers. That was all casting news. So now we're talking trailers.
Mostly for this is all for TV stuff, right?
Yes.
Yes. This is all
TV
stuff.
Except for Love and Thunder, but
yeah.
Well, the trailers are all TV stuff, though.
Just the trailer stuff.
So Falcon Winter Soldier is the one that's coming the soonest. It's going to be in March, and the trailer for this I really liked.
Yeah. The only thing I kind of didn't like about it is I missed the mane of hair from Winter Soldier.
Bucky looks less attractive with short hair. I'm just going to say it right now.
He needs to be a wild man.
He's not here to be pretty for you people.
Yeah, but I need him to be in his hot emo boy phase. That's like what I wanted to see from this movie, and Marvel was like, no, Anna, you've got the butts from Oscar Isaac.
let the man cut his hair if he wants to.
But he's already had that arc. He's sort of like the mentor to Sam becoming Captain America at this point.
I think once an emo boy, always an emo boy. And, like, he gets one bad day, one kind of annoying thing happens, and the next day, long hair, mopey, My Chemical Romance.
And so and I bad do, poetry.
I do love how much... This was in Civil War, and I think is really going to be the heart of the series. They're doing sort of the Midnight Run buddy comedy thing here, where the two of them don't like each other.
But there were a few things in this trailer I was very excited to see. Daniel Brühl returning as Zemo. There was also U.S. Agent. We saw him.
Did we see him?
Yeah, at the football game. That was sort of him coming out.
I did not spot him at all.
Yep. And then I've heard, because I thought it when I saw it, that they're in sort of like an Eastern kind of looking place. People are saying that might be Madripoor.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And if they introduce Madripoor in this, I've heard that they're going to get a lot of like actual villains showing up in this show. So I'm not shocked if we get a Thunderbolts out of this. Cool.
Thunderbolts? What's the deal with the Thunderbolts? Why would they be in it?
Zemo.
Oh, okay.
And if they,
I thought that was like a Madripoor thing.
No.
My cat is climbing all over the place.
So, I love the new update on the Falcon costume for this. It's got a little more red in it. It looks a little superhero-y.
Yep.
And they do a flight sequence of him like flying between some caverns.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, the budget.
Like, this looks like it looks like a movie, not a TV show.
Well, I'm trying to think in this modern era. Like, basically, I feel probably whatever else you might say of Game of Thrones. It opened up the idea of, like, movie-level budgets that's, like, really 100% movie level, not, like, a little down from movie level, but full-on that quality. And that and Mandalorian more recently have, like, really paved the way.
Yeah. Then there was the Loki trailer with Owen Wilson and the Time Variance Authority.
I swear I did not recognize that mustachioed man was Owen Wilson. Although, in retrospect, I'm like, I don't know why I didn't like it. But he looks different enough.
He sounds just like him.
There was
a split second where I asked, and I was like, he looks so much older than Owen Wilson looks in my mind. I have to be wrong about this.
Yeah, well, I think they leaned into it with the makeup and probably hair colored and stuff.
He looked way different.
For people who don't know, like, it looks like Loki, after escaping through, you know, weird time loopy stuff in Endgame, escaping captivity, like, he's going to end up, recruited by the Time Variance Authority?
So it looks like Owen Wilson is playing Justice Peace.
Oh, that's like the main TVA guy.
Yeah,
and this is not like a super well-known bit of Marvel lore, but like in the late 80s, in a Fantastic Four run, Walt Simonson, the big Thor writer and artist, he did a Fantastic Four run, and he created the Time Variance Authority, a kind of bureaucratic policing agency for all the time travel nonsense that happens, and they were like in charge of keeping it from like wrecking the multiverse and screwing up entropy and all whatever else. And it was a fun idea, but like they haven't revisited it very often in Marvel, so it's a pretty deep cut to make it.
Loki being pitted against a bureaucratic time agency is just about perfect. I mean,
he's going to be like working for them, right? But like kind of.
Well, he seems to be working. I don't know how long Loki's actually going to work for the TVA. It seems like
maybe he's taking missions to subvert them. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it also looked like he was visiting different time periods from the various movies, because we saw Black Widow on Mora. And we also saw the airfield where Civil War.
Yep. Well, and we see a bit that looks like sort of post-apocalyptic. We see a thing where he's... and then of course we see him doing we see him basically being D.B. Cooper.
Yeah.
And then we see,
Leaps out of a plane with like a luggage, a thing of like money or whatever. And then doesn't he like grab a rainbow bridge thing?
Yeah. The Bifrost grabs him.
Yeah.
And then we also see the ending where they're doing the Vote Loki thing, where it looks like he's trying to run for president.
Oh yeah.
So,
which is delightful.
There's some great nods in here to some obscure comics.
Yep.
And specifically, like, the Vote Loki thing, like, his costume and the way that they, like, did his makeup and hair and stuff, like, he looks literally, like, exactly like he was on the front cover of that comic, too.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great.
There's some crazy deep cuts. I kind of like that it's unpredictable and we don't kind of know exactly what his relationship is going to be or exactly even like what kind of missions the Time Variance Authority does here. But it seems like it's going to allow them to play around in those different eras. And maybe even they might even, I suppose, use it to kind of address some weird little inconsistencies in the movies or to correct something here and there that hasn't been explained in the, you know, that fans are like, oh, we never did know why this, and they might actually address some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It looks like fun. I'm excited for it. And also this might be the thing I'm most excited for, the What If animated teaser.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
yeah.
was so good. This like gave me goosebumps a little bit. Like, well, I love the What If property.
I didn't
and
think...
having Jeffrey Wright voice the Watcher is really cool.
Yep. I didn't think that I had ever like thought that like I would hear the Watcher's voice and kind of really feel his potency and his power and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The way, you know, the way, like, I always remember as a kid, he showed up for me. The biggest story that I knew that he showed up in was the at last issue of the Dark Phoenix saga. And I was like, this is the craziest thing ever. I knew him from What If comics, but he actually showed up to, like, address the reader before a normal story. And I was like, oh, man, clearly whatever is going to happen here is such a big thing that, like, he, you know, like, that it warranted him. And so, like, he does sort of loom large in my imagination, even though I've read plenty of stories with him that are just kind of ho-hum. He also is in the first Galactus story, and so that's huge, too. But when I heard Jeffrey Wright speaking as him, yeah, I kind of got that chill.
The stories here, by the way, also they've got the voice cast from the entire movie. So Samuel Jackson is in there. Chadwick Boseman is going to be in here. This one, the last
one,
they've got his voice.
The big one for me was Yondu.
Haley Atwell is in there voicing Sharon Carter, and then we see a little bit of each one. So there's clearly a What If where Black Panther becomes like Star-Lord.
Yep, Michael Rooker reprising his role as Yondu and like taking him in.
We have Sharon Carter becoming Captain America or Captain Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one actually.
Along with.
What were we saying, Anna?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, that one actually gave me some feelings. I was really excited about seeing.
Well,
that.
She freaking flips a car, too, with her shield. It looked dope as hell.
Well, gargantuan barbarian warrior women is kind of your thing.
Yeah,
so.
but I just mean, like, I loved Agent Carter, and, like, I wish that that sort of I had gotten to see more of Peggy Carter being a badass, and so seeing Peggy Carter be a badass in, like, a... I don't want to say a meaningful way, because I think the show was meaningful, but, like, this is a lot bigger than that. And the possibility that there might be more excites me.
Also, I love, and it's not this teaser trailer, but the other, like, one that got leaked. The guy in the suit of armor is Steve Rogers.
Yep.
And that's, like, Hero America. Yeah. And, like, the two of them teaming up, like, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
That looks like fun.
That sounds amazing.
And then, of course, we've got that teaser of what looks like a Marvel Zombies with Winter Soldier as the guy, as the survivor. Did you guys notice all the visual touches? Like, there is all kinds of, like, visual nods to the movies, but they've just replaced the characters in there. Almost like mocap kind of stuff. So, like, when Cap Zombie throws his shield, Winter Soldier catches it and throws it back, just like in the Winter Soldier movie, but in a different context.
Yeah, kind of echo flipping.
Similarly.
There's some...
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, similarly, like with Peggy in the test tube or whatever, as they were giving her the super soldier serum, like that is like the exact shot from when they unveil Cap's new bulky muscles.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. They've already made 10 episodes, and they're already making 13 more for season 2, which is underway. So there's going to be lots of it. Yeah.
How long are the episodes?
I would guess 30 minutes, but we don't really know.
Probably so. I was not excited for this one, and even now, like I am with all of this stuff, it's all a little overwhelming, but it looked really good.
This is
it's cel-shaded CG, right?
Yeah,
and it looks really good. This is the one I'm maybe most excited about, except and the one that we know the most about, I think, is what I know. But the one that I'm super excited about is the teaser for Ms. Marvel, the live-action Ms. Marvel on Disney Plus.
Seeing that trailer made me extremely happy, because that was like one of the first comic books that I picked up when I was like getting back into comics, like right before I started working here. Sorry, I say here as if I'm at Rogue's and not at my house.
You are virtually at Rogue's.
Yes, but like pretty much like right before I started working at Rogue's, I had been slowly getting back into comics for a few years, and like that was like one of the first comics that I picked up, so it holds a very special spot in my heart.
And I just love this comic and this character, and so I'm super happy to see her being real. I just seeing the actress and seeing little shots of her as Kamala Khan.
Yeah.
And like
just like
straight
really,
up like
really looks great.
References from the comic too. It was like shot for shot. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Seeing her in the convenience store with Bruno and God, what's her friend? I can't remember who the friend is that's there with her, but just seeing them all together, it's like we're gonna get to see all that. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah,
is she kind of the newest character that the MCU has taken on?
I think maybe so. Yeah,
her and Kate Bishop
is Kate Bishop. Yeah, Kate Bishop came out before Kamala Khan.
But America Chavez, who they're also supposedly going to be using,
right,
came out after.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah, so let's scoot into the movie news actually, because there's a bunch of movie news. I want to mention Ms. Marvel and Monica Rambeau, two of my favorite characters. They have officially said they're going to be in Captain Marvel 2,
which is awesome.
Ah, that's delightful.
Yeah, I'm super about that. I also grew up right at the same time you did, Randy, reading about Captain Marvel. Monica Rambeau's Captain Marvel was my Captain Marvel in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hyped to see her whatever role she takes in the movie.
And I liked what they did with Monica in Captain Marvel 1. So having her be a grown adult now, and having Carol come back, her Aunt Carol come back as an adult, same age because of the weird, she's immortal because of her crazy powers.
Yep.
Or at least long lived. That's going to be fun. And Ms. Marvel being sort of looking up to her. It also speaks to a thing that I think all this Phase 4 stuff is that there's going to be a lot of interlocking between the TV shows and the movie. It's like they're all going to feed into one another.
Yeah.
It feels like Phases 1 through 3 of Marvel were all about like building up to Infinity War and Endgame. And to me, I was like, well, how do you top that? And I think the answer is you don't. You do something different. And it seems like what they're going to do is like build the cohesive shared universe that Marvel is in the comics.
Yeah, you basically make your comic world.
Yeah. And also, as Anna said, America Chavez is confirmed for Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Well, I forgot that it's from Doctor Strange, but that makes sense because she's got world poppy powers too, right?
Yeah, she can also jump dimensions, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is one of the other things I think is maybe one of the clues, the spine of Phase 4 and 5 or whatever. There's a lot of multiverse and time travel stuff.
Yeah.
We've got Loki, we've got What If, we've got America Chavez and Doctor Strange in the multiverse.
I also think WandaVision.
And WandaVision.
Did they fast-track it to disrupt DC's Flashpoint multiverse stuff?
Yeah, they're going to do the multiverse right. And then Ant-Man 3, Quantumania.
That's that Who movie, right? The Who?
Has Kang as the villain.
Yep.
Fascinating.
So they're definitely going to be doing, I think they're going to be doing a lot of like time travel and world hopping and multiverse stuff, and I'm all for it.
It sounds bonkers, I love it.
We'll see all our favorite characters in lots of weird roles.
Also, they officially announced the Fantastic Four movie, which is being directed by John Watts, who did the Spider-Man movies, which that's a good call. I mean, everybody wanted like a big fresh voice or whatever, but you look at the guy who's like, hey, can you rescue Spider-Man from Sony? Okay, come rescue Fantastic Four from Fox.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean, the Fantastic Four movies are hot ass, but... And not like a good hot ass. They're like garbage.
Not Oscar Isaac style.
Yeah, not Oscar Isaac. But also, like, I just don't. I can't muster the will to give a single shit about the Fantastic Four.
Oh, John Watts is going to make you love them.
My front field is barren.
You need to. I guess you should read Grant Morrison's miniseries he did with them.
I mean, right. I would probably like that.
But
I do think, though, that they will undergo a major facelift and kind of become something a little different than what they have been for most of the decades.
Well, as I was saying about the time travel multiverse stuff, the Fantastic Four does a lot of, like, dimension and time traveling, and I bet they'll tie that in, too.
Yeah.
I bet they'll come from another... multiverse, one another world essentially.
Maybe we'll see. But they'll definitely. I think that they'll be able to use that as a thing. Moving over to the TV side again. There's a lot of stuff announced that we don't have trailers running for, but one of them is a Secret Invasion show with Nick Fury and Talos.
Yeah.
That's the Skrull?
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy who impersonated him?
Yep. If this is not a buddy cop movie, then I don't know. Or a buddy cop show, I don't know what it is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's Nick Fury's new role after Captain Marvel is to be the buddy.
Well, you know what's interesting is that Secret Invasion is very much predicated on the evil Skrulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Skrulls in the Marvel Universe are different. So I wonder if they're going to do a thing where basically like there's a monarch, there's a royalist, a queen Skrull who's trying to do something and Talos is working with Nick Fury against her or something like that. Like,
right. There could be like, say, a bunch of Skrull secessionists that are trying to infiltrate and instigate, and they got to get their asses put down.
Yeah. Also, speaking of event stuff, they're doing Armor Wars as well. They're going to do Armor Wars starring Don Cheadle.
Huh.
Is that a mini series or what is it?
It's a mini series. Yeah. It's going to be a mini series like the rest of these.
So what I've heard. This is just fan thing, but I've heard that Sam Rockwell is coming back as Justin Hammer.
And they need to do that. That'd be great.
And he's going to be the villain.
Delightful.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, it would make perfect sense.
I'm all for more Don Cheadle as War Machine. Don Cheadle is always great in these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that. And also I think the TV would be another interesting format to like flesh out maybe some other Iron Man villains. In a way, you know, the movies, again, there always has to be some massive scheme. And this Armor Wars is a pretty big thing, but I think by allowing it to be a little bit smaller, you allow for kind of more variety within there. It doesn't feel like, you know, the stakes have to be immediately, you know, what they are in movies.
I'm just saying, if they don't use the controller, I'm going to be sad.
Well, here's the thing. I want controller. I want firepower. I mean, Beetle was in that, the Guardsman. But the thing is, like, it's going to be very different, just like Civil War was very different in the MCU, because in the Marvel Universe, he was going after all these armored villains. The whole concept was that the reveal was that all these armored villains were using Stark Tech, and so, like, they were able to use all these characters from 40 years of Marvel. They don't have that here. They have not built that much up, so they're going to have to do something very different with it.
Well, they can still use it, like... You could, after, like, Stark's death, like, his weapons went, like, super black market, and all villains started popping up using it.
If Hammer basically got all the tech somehow, and then the War Machine's going after it, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there's another one. Ironheart is coming to Disney. They've already cast Dominique Thorne as Ironheart.
Yeah.
By the way, I just had a notion that you could kind of do an Armor War stories that might be also a little bit of a about the sort of almost like the militarization of police kind of metaphor could come into there with those guys with a bunch of like different people getting super super high tech armors like that. Just a thought.
But I mean, we're gonna have Ironheart. We're gonna have War Machine. We're gonna have Armor. Like they're fleshing out every corner of their universe, which I love.
Yeah. And I also do just like that I'm seeing more of the characters that, like, I give a crap about. Like, I get to see, like, a lot of the younger, scrappier characters who aren't, like, you know, 100 years old in real lifetime. That sort of thing. So, that's pretty cool.
I think this is someone they were doing a fan speculation thing. And I don't think there's anything to this. But someone was noting that, like, you have Hawkeye, you're introducing Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
If you do in the Falcon Winter Soldier, if they start looking into like the history of the Shield and they discover that Isaiah Bradley exists, and then you bring in the twins in WandaVision and you got America Chavez, like, you have, sure enough, you have built up Young Avengers for phase 5 or 6.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, surely you would also need Marvel Boy. To truly have the Young Avengers,
you don't
that
need
I like.
Marvel Boy.
Yeah, you totally do.
But you're also
getting
stature.
But they can bring Hulkling and Secret. You can do Hulkling and Secret Invasion.
Yeah,
and you're also getting stature in Ant-Man 3.
In Ant-Man, yeah, yeah. There's definitely the it's not the craziest theory I've heard that they could be laying the groundwork for Young Avengers.
Yeah, I mean,
I just
that would
pray
be awesome,
that they change the name Stature. That's all they need to worry about.
They should change all the names. All the Young Avengers names are terrible.
I mean, they would just call them the champions. That's what they would be called.
Yeah, you're probably right. Imagine, and this is a further afield thing, but imagine if at the end of Captain America Winter Soldier, or Falcon Winter Soldier, if basically Falcon and Winter Soldier are like, yeah, I don't want to be Captain America, I'm Falcon, and they give the shield to a young Isaiah Bradley, and he becomes the new Cap.
That'd be cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be cool. I don't think they'll do it, but yeah. That'd be cool.
That's interesting.
Two more bits of TV news. Tatiana Maslany is a filthy liar because she is playing She-Hulk. Mark Ruffalo is going to be in that show, and Tim Roth is going to return as the Abomination for She-Hulk.
Yep. That's a deep cut.
Fascinating. Okay.
Tim Roth was maybe the best part of that Hulk movie. He was great as the bad guy.
Listen, what's his name was great as Bruce Banner, you fools. The movie itself was a little uneven, but I thought he was a great Bruce Banner.
Wait, Mark Ruffalo is a better Bruce Banner.
You like Edward Norton?
He's a great stoned Bruce Banner.
He's better.
Nope. He might be better for a team, but Edward Norton was a better Bruce Banner.
Boo.
He was the comic Bruce Banner. They created a character that was a stoner Bruce Banner for the movies.
I just want the rumor
to fight. I'm supposed to be the one who fights. You're taking my stick.
I just want the rumors of Daredevil showing up in She-Hulk to be true.
That's not true. Somebody made that up.
No, but as Matt Murdock.
No, not true. No way.
I've heard multiple rumors, so.
Yeah, but people are just making up. People want Charlie Cox to be back.
Well,
he's not.
If they do, you know, like since they seem to have more or less cut ties with those shows.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of Daredevil showing up in a She-Hulk story. So if they were to do it and maybe just go ahead and recast, I'd be down for it.
I love the idea of Matt Murdock. I don't think there's any way they're going to bring Charlie Cox on. I think they want to cut ties with the Netflix.
Oh, I'm not saying Charlie Cox. I'm just saying a Matt Murdock. Yeah.
To be fair,
I think that's possible. I think that's possible.
I also would have thought that they would have wanted to cut ties with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi stuff, and the Andrew Garfield stuff as well. And here they all brought into Spider-Man. So,
well, you know what I think
you're thinking of me. I want to cut ties with that stuff.
You know, I think it's clever about those Randy's cranky pants aside, is that they kind of get to have their cake and eat it too. They're going to be able to like sort of tip the hat to the first Spider-Man movies and all of that stuff, but they're going to clearly be moving forward with their vision, and it's still going to be about like their new Spider-Man ultimately. That is going to be the hero of the piece.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to quick run down I put together a list of Marvel stuff we know about and release dates. And just going to run it down.
Yep.
So in 2021, in January we have WandaVision. In March we have Falcon Winter Soldier. In May we get Black Widow and also Loki. In July we get Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. Sometime in the summer we get What If. Sometime in the fall we get Hawkeye. November we get Eternals. Sometime in the winter we get Miss Marvel. And then in December we get Spider-Man 3. Then in 2022, by the way, that's how many? That's like four movies and
a lot of TV.
A lot of TV. And then in 2022, Thor Love and Thunder, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, and that's all the movies. And that's Thor Love and Thunder, by the way, has a February release date, which I love because it's a Valentine's Day. Doctor Strange in March, Black Panther in July, Captain Marvel in November. These all could get moved, but that's the dates we have. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is at some point in 2023. And then, currently unscheduled, Ant-Man 3 and Fantastic Four in the movieverse. And then on TV, Secret Invasion, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Ironheart, Armor Wars, Blade with Mahershala Ali, and something called I Am Groot that I don't know anything about.
It's an animated series.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Alright.
And plus so that's Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. I missed that one, yes. Christmas 2022, we're getting a live-action holiday special of Guardians of the Galaxy.
And if David Hasselhoff doesn't show up in that, I'm going to be sad.
I'll be very sad, as David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, man, that's some nuts. That's crazy stuff.
Good God.
I'm super excited. This sort of reinvigorated my love of the Marvel, because I really had thought of Endgame as kind of the end, and thought maybe we weren't going to get that level again. But this has me excited about seeing where Marvel goes from here. So, I would like it if COVID would go away so we could go back to movie theaters.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
So, just but, Randy,
that's your Christmas present from Marvel.
So, yes, it was a Christmas day. I got to open my presents, and it was a bunch of Marvel movies. A bunch of IOU coupons for Marvel movies. So, you know, still.
So what we've learned, though, is we all need to keep our Disney Plus subscriptions active for the next, yeah, you know, 5 years.
They're pretty sneaky that way.
Yeah. All right, well, that was a long podcast.
That was a lot of stuff. Yeah, I think we should, whatever else we've got, we should probably hold till next week.
Yeah, yeah.
And we do. We already cut some stuff, some other neat little stories. So,
yeah, we have news for next week, and we have topics to talk about. I didn't even mention a word about Cyberpunk 2077, which I've been living in for 2 days.
I was going to say, I was honestly shocked.
We've all been watching Christmas movies, which hopefully we'll get to talk about one more time.
Yep.
One more time. So, with any luck, next week. The timing is going to be weird. It may not be Wednesday releases right now. Maybe something else. Mm-hmm. But we're going to try and do one more podcast. This was fun to have all four of us on, by the way.
It was. Yeah.
I wasn't wild about Nick. Oh.
I mean,
I thought we were evaluating each other.
That's understandable. I get it.
No, Dave. It's a self-evaluation. You fucked it up.
I wasn't wild about me.
Oh. That's so sad.
all right. That will do it for us. And until next time.
Yo, Joe.
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.